Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBorough. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Good morning again. It's great to see everybody this morning. Today is a special morning. We've already talked about it a few times today, but we're beginning this conversation about faith in action, our pledge campaign that we're doing at the church. And I'm really intentional about calling it a conversation because I do believe that it is. I believe it's a conversation that we're going to be having together over the next few weeks. I hope that you're having conversations in your families, in your small groups, your Sunday school classes. And more than anything, I hope that you will commit to having a conversation with God about this, because it is part of who we are and our relationship with God and our relationships with others in the church. It is a conversation. One of the things, too, I'm not calling this a sermon series either, because I think it's much bigger than just a sermon. And just to be really honest with you, the idea of doing a sermon series on giving, it scares the heck out of me. I just want to be honest with you. The thought of doing that is a little scary for me, because I think because it's a big deal, right? And I don't want to mess it up. And so this morning, I'm just being really open and honest with you, and I kind of stand before you with a little bit of fear and trembling as we begin this conversation. And just to take it another step further, this may be too much honesty, but I read the scripture for this week, and it didn't help me at all. It really made me even more nervous. Let me read it for you real quick. The focus verse for our Faith in Action campaign is Matthew 7:16. It simply says this: you will know them by their fruits. And so you think, well, that's not too bad, right? And it was fine. I was fine right there. But then it kind of took this dramatic turn, because what I did next was I read the verses around that verse, right? Context is really important in Scripture. And so whenever I'm reading a verse or preaching on a verse, I want to know the context. I want to know what's going on around that. So then my next thing that I did was I read Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. So listen to these words. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will be known. You will know them by their fruit." Okay, that one's a little bit heavier, right? But I can work with that. I'm good there, right? But then it took an even more dramatic turn. Okay, I made the mistake of reading the Message version of this passage. If you know about the Message version, it's basically a contemporary paraphrase of the original scripture. And so, so listen to this. It says, "Beware of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off in some way or another. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. These diseased trees with their bad apples are going to be chopped down and burned. Yikes. Can you see why I was a little bit even more coming with fear and trembling after hearing that? If you ever come to Wednesday night Bible study, Cliff has a phrase that he uses. He says, that cuts a little close to the corn. That cut a little close to the corn this week for me. That became really up close and personal as I stand before you to talk about giving. But I want to share this with you. There was one particular part of that passage that spoke to me in a really powerful way after I kind of picked myself up off the floor and read the verse again. And it shaped how I felt led to speak to you today, to begin this conversation that we're going to have about giving. And it was this little line right here. It said, "Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook." So as we begin this conversation about giving, I just want to make that clear. I'm not here to exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. If you know me at all, you know that that's not who I am. Neither am I here to captivate you with charisma. That's not really who I am either. But what I can do, and what I want to do, what I hope to do today, is to share with you a little bit of my story, to take seriously those words that says who we are is more important than what we say. That's what Chris did. That's what Cliff is doing on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. There are some gatherings that we're having that have to do with this campaign. It's about being honest and sharing our stories. And so that's what I want to do this morning. But as I do that, I want to just pause and invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Would you do that? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this opportunity to bear witness to your word and to your work in my life. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't remember a lot about I don't remember us talking a lot about giving in my family growing up. But what I do remember is almost every week I remember seeing my parents and my grandparents put money in those little silver, shiny silver offering trays that they passed around at the church that I grew up in. And I remember wanting to put my dollar in too. And I remember being so proud of the contribution that I was able to make, even though, as Chris mentioned earlier, I had to ask my dad to borrow that dollar to put into the offering plate. But it was always meaningful to me. And that's kind of my picture of giving growing up. I think what shaped my understanding of giving the most, though, was when I became a college student. And then later on in college, I got a job at the church. I didn't make a lot of money, but I was an intern for our youth ministry at the church that I grew up in. And I remember after I got that first paycheck and cashed it and started using that money, the picture that I had in my mind almost every time that I spent my money was of the people in my church putting their money in those shiny silver offering plates. And it made a difference. As a college student, I remember times where there were certain things that I didn't buy because I'd begun to see my money through the eyes of stewardship. That, as Chris said, that it wasn't just my money, that it was our money, and ultimately it was God's money. You know, stewardship is kind of one of those fancy church words that we use. It basically means taking care of something that belongs to someone else. Being a good steward is basically taking care of, handling with care, something that has been entrusted to you by someone else. That's what stewardship is all about. Chris said it so well, to be able to see what we have as a gift from God, a gift that we want to give back so that others might experience that blessing. It's part of why I think God invites us, teaches us to tithe, The word tithe basically means tenth, and it's just a way for us to give back to God what's God's. The reason why God asks us to do that, I think, is to remind us that ultimately all that we have is His. Now, you may say, you know, well, I earned that money with my own two hands, right? But how often do we stop to consider and remember who made those two hands? That all that we have comes from God. The other reason why I think God asks us to tithe is to remind us that the best things in life aren't always the things that money can buy. In fact, we can live abundantly with a lot less than we think we can, right? That's why you heard Chris talk about it, and is part of my story too, is why we give the first 10%, right? We heard a preacher once, Abby and I, in one of the churches that we served, talk about how he and his family gave the first 10% to the church. Then the second 10% went to retirement, pension, that kind of thing. And then they lived on the other 80%. And so we decided to do that. And I can tell you that we've never missed that money. Now, that doesn't mean that we haven't struggled. It doesn't mean that we haven't stressed. It doesn't mean that things have not been tight before. But what it means is that we've always had enough. And I feel confident that if we had waited until the end of the month to find that 10%, that we probably would have already found some way to use it in a different way. And so that's part of this idea of giving and giving 10%. That God calls us to do that. There are so many times where we've found what we needed in unexpected places. Sometimes it looked like a gift certificate that just showed up in our mailbox, or a student that offered to watch our kids for us so that we could go do something. You know, that's kind of another layer of giving that we don't always talk about or think about. But giving is not just something that I do. It's something that we do. And when we give to a common purpose and a common good, then not only are the needs of others met, but our needs are met as well. And somehow in the midst of that, God is glorified in and through that giving. The last thing I kind of want to share with you this morning, the last part of this message, is I just want to share with you about some ways that we've been motivated to give. You know, motivation is so important in this, and I want to share just some ways people are motivated to give in so many different ways. And I just want to lift up three for you really briefly, because these are the three ways that we have been motivated to give throughout our journey of faith and our journey of giving. And it has been a journey. And along the way, we've learned some things. And I just want to lift them up to you real quickly. And it just so happens that these three things, they all start with the letter O. And if you know me very well, you know I'm kind of obsessed with alliteration and acrostics. So that's just kind of, that's part of who I am. But here they are. They're the three O's that I want to share with you this morning that have to do with giving. The first one is observation. How many of you have ever given solely based on observation? You see a need, you meet a need, right? You see a worthy cause, and you give to it, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? We've given out of observation, and that's fine. But one of the things that we've learned through giving based solely on observation is that it can be incredibly overwhelming. And the reason why is there are so many needs in the church, in the community, in the world. There's so much pain and suffering. There are so many worthy causes to give to that sometimes it can be a little overwhelming, and it can feel like, you know, well, what good could my little gift possibly do? What difference could it make? What's the point? Have you ever felt like that before or said that? Maybe not out loud, but you've thought it. We have. It's so easy to kind of fall into discouragement or despair. And the way that we respond to that, if we continue to give, is the pendulum kind of swings to the other end of the spectrum, where we don't give out of observation, we give out of obligation, right? We give because, well, everybody else is giving. The preacher says to give. I guess we should give, right? And maybe you've given out of obligation. We've certainly done that before. The problem that we found with giving solely based on obligation is that it can be incredibly underwhelming, right? If observation is overwhelming, obligation can be underwhelming, where we feel like if there's no passion, if there's no purpose, if there's no a greater vision that we feel like is connected to our giving, then it's so easy for us to become cynical and skeptical and say things like, well, you know, the church always asking for money, or this is my money. Have you ever said that before? We've said it before, just being honest. But the good news that I want to share with you this morning, just to bring this all together, is that there's a third way. There's a better way, in my opinion, that goes above and beyond observation and above and beyond obligation. It's a way that brings those two together in a way that creates something altogether different. And that word is obedience. Obedience. Obedience to God. Faithfulness to God. Faith in action. That's the third one. Now, I want to unpack that word obedience a little bit, because there may be different things going through your mind when you hear that word. When I say obedience, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not talking about blind submission. I'm not talking about this heartless going through the motions. I'm not talking about mindless acquiescence. When I say obedience, this is what I mean. This is the definition that I've kind of come up with for myself. Obedience is trusting in the authority of one that is greater than me and aligning myself with the character and command of that authority. Let me read that one more time. Obedience is trusting in the authority of one that is greater than me and aligning myself with the character and command of that authority. I'm not talking about obedience that's the result of fear or manipulation. When I say obedience, what I'm talking about is, here's an example. It's kind of a silly example, but it's that kind of joyful obedience that you have when you listen to the voice on the other end of the phone when your car's broken down or your computer's not working the way that you think it should, and you're hoping, right? You're hoping that the instructions given, even though you can't see that person, that what they're sharing with you is going to make a difference, right? It's going to bring new life to that computer that's not working, or that car that's broken down. You're trusting that person knows something that you don't know, that they have experience on the inner workings of that car, that computer, that they're able to do what you could not do on your own. Does that make sense? That's what I mean by obedience. It's an obedience that's firmly rooted in the belief that this person is able to do something that I could never do on my own. That's the kind of obedience that God desires for us. The kind of obedience that bears fruit for God's kingdom is trusting not in ourselves, but ultimately trusting in God. That God knows us better than we know ourselves. That God knows the inner workings of our lives and our relationships in such a way that we can trust Him and that we can respond with obedience. Because we give because God says to give, because we believe, we trust in the character of God enough to know that if God says give, that it's for our good. That somehow God can use our giving in a way that we could never imagine, above and beyond our wildest dreams, not only to bless others, but we would be blessed in the process. We can't always see it, but we believe it. That's what faith is all about, right? That's why I love the name of this pledge campaign. It's called Faith in Action. If you think about it, those words are so perfect, because faith goes beyond observation and action goes beyond obligation, and it brings those two together in an incredible way. Faith in action as this picture of obedience. It's like the song that we sang earlier, right? God calls us higher and deeper than we could ever imagine going. And so whatever I have to do, I want to do. Whatever God wants me to give, I want to do that because I want to go where God leads me. The song we're about to sing, it says, deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of a Savior. Because I know that there's joy and blessing and life like I've never experienced it before, above and beyond what I could ever do on my own. And when we do that, when we step out in faith and obedience to God, we get a glimpse. Often it's through the eyes of faith. We get a glimpse of the character of God. We get to see how a generous God is shaping us and molding us into a generous people that reflects the character of the one who gave everything, including his life for us, so that we might have life abundant and eternal. So that's why the Carey family gives. We don't give out of observation. We don't give out of obligation. We give out of a desire to practice obedience, because we see it as a chance to put our faith in action. This year, we're hoping to, as Cliff says, blow the roof off, right? So we're personally deciding to go above and beyond what our normal pledge is, because we want to be a part of something bigger, because we feel like we're a part of this community. But more than anything, it's because through our giving that we have seen how God can work in us and through us to make a difference in the world around us. And so we want to step out in faith. So how about you? Now, I promise I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what to give or how to give. I don't feel like that's my place. But I do feel like it's my responsibility to simply ask you to pray. If you were here last week, there was a sermon entitled, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And it begins with prayer. So what I want to invite you to do this morning, over the next few weeks, would you just pray about how God might be calling you to step out and to give in such a way that supports what God is doing here at this church? I'll promise you this. If you'll commit this to prayer, whatever your response is, that will be a conversation that will bear fruit in your life and in our life together and in our community and in the world around us. So would you pray with me? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the work that you are doing in our lives and in our church and in our community in this world. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Remind us of who you are and who we are in you. May our lives reflect who you are, that others may recognize us by your fruit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.